You guys, we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 14. I'll go ahead and read it and talk about it. So Ephesians chapter 1, I'm reading out of the NLT. So if you guys are following, sounds different, that's why. Verse 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure, and this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth. Good news that God saves you. And when you believe in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you've given us in Christ, Lord. And just pray that you would speak that to us, to solidify who we are in you, and that we would be able to stand on that truth and live our lives out that way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Guys, a little intro into Ephesians. You can find Paul in Ephesians in Acts 18 to 20, chapters 18 to 20. And, you know, in the early manuscripts, it didn't say Ephesus. So it was just kind of meant to circulate around for the churches in that area. you know, Acts 20, 31 is it kind of describes Paul's heart for the people. It says, I was with you, my constant watch and care over you, night and day, and many tears for you. You know, he loved them dearly. He performed many miracles, even like this, like his handkerchief was like taken and it was healing people. You know, God was able to use Paul that way. And many people came to know Jesus. Gentiles were becoming followers of Christ. And it's, you know, layout's great, it's easy. It's like 1 through 3 talks about who we are in Christ, and then 4 through 6 talks about how we use that in our daily lives, in our relationships, in who we are at work, who we are as parents, and how we're supposed to be as kids. You know, just in every aspect of our lives, it's a great book, and you guys should read the rest of it. So, another thing, you know, it was written to saints. Means Christians, believers in Christ, and people that have put your faith and trust in Jesus. And, you know, if you're listening and you're not a believer, you know, I want you to know that God loves you, and he's got great things for you. He's got great things planned for your life through his son, Jesus.
Yeah.
And so as we're going to talk about a few of those things. So there's three things, guys. I want you to know that you have spiritual blessings. I want you to know what they are and believe it. And understand who gave them to you, right? So that you know you have spiritual blessings, know what they are, and know who gave them to you. So as we're reading, the word says in Christ, and you know when we're saved and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, like there's a lot of things that happen. You know, we're justified, and We have all these spiritual blessings. We're made new creations. You know how all that happens? I'm not too sure. But at the same time, like, that's what happens. We receive those things by faith. Mm-hmm. And that's just what it is. And, you know, in Christ means union with him, to be joined with him. And, you know, there's terms that describes that in the Bible. We have John 15's got the branch, the vine and the branch. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a way, just an organic way to, that we draw all of our life through that, you know. And, you know, it also describes Jesus as the head and us as the body. You know, if the head was cut off, can it do anything? You know, apart from him, we can do nothing. And then also for, in a relationship sense, as a husband and wife, it says that we're joined with him. You know, we're become one flesh. So in that sense, being in Christ, like any of those terms, like, that's who we are. If you have placed your faith in Jesus, like, that's who you are. And that's what in Christ means, or you might say union with Christ or joined with Christ in your version. So verse 3, you know, this, when we talk about certainty, you know, there's just a lot of things that are just uncertain in this world. I mean, we're going through this now. It said, like, Disneyland's only been closed 3 times or something, and now it's closed, and I forgot the first 2 reasons, but it was 9/11 was the other one, and not an assassination, but it's like some weird times. Like, things are uncertain. You just can't go to Disneyland anymore. And, but it's like, but we can be sure that the word says we have been blessed. Like, these have already been given, right? These are for ours to take and ours to have. Like, they're a part of us. You know, it's not conditional. It doesn't matter about your feelings. It's just what it is. You have them. It doesn't matter if you have a certain behavior or not. And, you know, about spiritual blessings, it's spiritual, right? It's not the physical. It's not a physical blessing as in a house or a car or a fishing boat, but it's talking about the spiritual blessings. And then, you know, what about security? You know, that's also like something that we seek. You know, whether it's in relationships, if you're dating or if you're, you know, chasing guys or girls, like, it feels good, but at the end, it leads to heartbreak, right? If you do it the wrong way. Or if you're just trying to work, you're like, all right, maybe trying to work, and you're like, yeah, I just got to make more money, more money, more money, more money. You know, you're chasing dollar, but at the end, that's going to run out, you know? It's or looking for people around you, looking for approval from people, you know, that just leads to disappointment. Like, all these physical things that can be good, but yet, if we don't have Christ, like, it's going to lead to disappointment and death. And, or even, like, being good at your job, that's a great thing to be good at it. You know, the Lord gave you that skill, but then if you find your identity in that and not in Christ, and you understand, man, that's who I am. I'm a great driver, you know? And that's what happens if I get in an accident, right? Then, am I not? I don't. Josh always finds us when we're always driving out there. you know, it's like a Christmas present as a kid. You know, you get a gift and you open it up and you're super excited about it, but then what happens a week later? Emily's laughing, like, right? I don't know. She doesn't know. She can't even find it. Right? I don't know if you guys remember NBA Jam.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay. So I got NBA Jam. I was going home and my dad got that for me for our Super Nintendo, and I get blisters I've been playing on. I thought this to myself, like, as we were leaving the parking lot, I was like, I am never going to get bored. So yeah, I wasn't. I wasn't bored for about a month, and then that's just what happens. It's just, I think that it's gonna, like, satisfy us, but it doesn't, you know, and that's what the whole thing about the spiritual is, it's eternal. Right? It's not gonna go away.
Yeah.
And you can count on it. And you know, when we can trust Jesus with all these areas of our life, and, you know, with trust, it's, you know, there's a discipline of trust. Having faith, having trust, it takes discipline to have.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, man, it's like a muscle. Anybody work out? Play sports?
Yeah.
Two? She's lying. This guy. You know, like, you work out, like, what do you do? You just, you go and you, what do you do? You know, like, they got charged, you can work on certain muscles and things like that, but But you got to keep going, right? In order to grow those, you got to tear your muscle and grows back somehow and take protein and all these things. Like, you just keep going and you keep going. Like, you can go to the gym once a week, but you're not going to get those gains if you go four times a week, right? And if you guys are in sports or have played sports in high school, we practice like 2-3 weeks before a game even starts.
Yeah.
Right? And we practice maybe pretty rare we have two games a week, but we practice 4 days and then maybe we play a game. In that same way, man, when our faith is put to the test, if we don't practice in the sense of the game, like if we don't practice our faith, how are we going to succeed in those times when faith is necessary?
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, in that same way, maybe a way to do that is like taking your thoughts captive daily. You know, just like it's easy for my mind to just, something bad happens at work, I'm like, oh, dang, all right, now I got to find another job. You know, but it's small things. And it's just maybe fix a tire or something. But taking your thoughts captive, doing the next right thing, relationships, guys, challenge you to be the first one to say sorry. Right? That's a tough one. Because then our flesh gets in the way. Do the dishes, laundry, whatever it is. Just go do them.
Yeah.
Right? Take out the trash.
Come on.
You know? Shouldn't have said that. You know, when you're praying, pray and wait. Wait for an answer. Does God speak to us? Guys, he does, right? How he does that, whether it's through his word or through people, but he does speak to us. If you have something to do, if you have a decision to make, man, I've seen that time and time again. Just, we've got great examples of that in our church where people are just praying and waiting and waiting. And there's, you know, can the Lord use it if you don't? Yeah, he can. But there's no harm in waiting. Like, you just to be sure what the Lord can do with that. You know, we live a life with deep impacts, right? Mm-hmm. Moms, stay home dads, like what you guys are doing, man, I've been encouraged that what you've been doing by saying and raising your kids, that's a big deal. Like, that is the next generation, right? Those are kids that are going to grow up and essentially take our jobs and do what we're doing now as adults, right? So keep at it. Raise them in the Lord. You know, if you go to school, study hard, play hard, and then when time comes, give glory to God when that time comes, right?
Yep.
For that gift that he gave you.
Yeah.
You know, and work hard as if Jesus was there. Like, at your work, sometimes it's like, it's a little repetitive, but Jesus is there, right? And we're working for him.
Yeah.
And give him the glory for that. So it's impossible to please God without faith. So just about discipline of trust. You know, and with the spiritual blessings, it is. It has eternal value. All the physical stuff, it fades away. And the spiritual stuff, it doesn't. It's eternal. It says it's in the heavenly. Things that were chosen, or adopted, redeemed. Like, all the guys you got, all the songs you guys sing, man, those are spot on. That was encouraging, just to being thankful of who I am and just trusting God. Like, that was great. You know, and it says they're in the heavenly. So, like, we don't have to wait till heaven. We can access them now.
Mm-hmm.
And know that. You know, and even with the physical stuff, like, we can say, yeah, don't worry about the physical. Like, just focus on the spiritual. But, man, we're here now, and it's hard to not focus on the spirit, physical, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you do have that, God gives us physical blessings as well.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so when you do have them, it's what you do with them, right? Are you going to just, like, hoard it to yourself, or are you going to be generous? Maybe you make a lot of money, and, you know, some other people don't, and use it. Use it to bless others.
Amen.
You know, I've seen lots of those examples as well with people in our church that are just generous, whether they give their time, whether they give their money, whether it's a ride somewhere. Like, they have resources, and they do use them. And so,
Amen.
Just an encouragement. Like, if you have a house, open it up.
Yeah.
Invite people over, right? You like to cook? Invite me over. You know, he's great, right? I mean, Dylan, man, he was just asking someone to go fishing. I was like, dude, I'll go. Use those gifts, right? And someone, because other people don't have them, and it's a great time for fellowship and to be able to use the physical blessings that God has given us. And mm-hmm. He has given those. You know, oftentimes in my immaturity, I would think, I'd rather just trade in one of these spiritual blessings for $1 million. You know, that could be useful right now. You know, but in that sense, like, man, the spiritual is so much more important. It really is. Right? I mean, that's what's eternal. Like, I keep saying that, but what we do with our soul now, as opposed to what the physical would do, as opposed to what the spiritual would do, I mean, it says that God's making a place for us to go, a home,
yeah.
to go to. You know, so what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Matthew 16:26. Now, you can't serve both God and money, but serving God will give life, you know, eternal life. It gives us purpose for what we're supposed to do. So the second thing says, know what they are. Right? We just talked about that we do have them. We have these spiritual blessings. Now, what are they? We're not going to talk about all of them, but you know, we have chosen, we're holy and blameless, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, riches of His grace, mystery of His will revealed to us, and then we obtain an inheritance. And that all sounds great, right? You guys, you can do a word search and a word study on every single one of those and be blessed for it. And we're going to talk about redemption. Right, there's got some definitions here. So redemption is a releasing effected by payment of ransom, or a liberation procured or obtained with difficulty by payment of ransom. Right, so there's two things. We have a releasing, and then you have a ransom as far as redemption. Right? For releasing, that means there was something that we need to be released from. Ephesians 2 talks about disobedience, sins, obeying the devil. The enemy is at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. And it also says we're following the course of this world. You guys been on a roller coaster? Right? And I've been on one. And, you know, that's all you do. You're sitting, and the roller coaster just takes you. Wherever, like fast, up, down, curves, whatever it is. Like, it just takes you. You don't have a choice. You're just following it. Right? I had no ability to take myself out of it. Right? But as far as redemption goes, Jesus couldn't just take me out of it either. Right? There had also to be a releasing, and then also had a ransom, something to be paid for in order to take me out of that roller coaster. So those are the things that was what was holding us. So the ransom is redeem one by paying a price. So there was a price to pay. Jesus just couldn't take us, or couldn't, you know, that there was still sin and there was still death or separation, a spiritual death, separation from God. And that happened back in Genesis too. You know, sin was holding us and we needed forgiving of that debt. Hebrew 9 says nearly everything was purified with blood, for without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. For, you know, it's not that just the shedding of blood, right? There, Jesus could have cut his finger, could have dripped some blood, or whatever, you know, an arm, whatever it is. But that's not what it was talking about. Like, it was a shedding of blood complete unto death.
Yeah.
It required death, all of the blood. You're going to read out of Leviticus 17. Here, I'm going to turn to it. So Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the body is in the blood. I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible. And some of them, it says, or to make atonement, or what's making you right with the Lord. Right? In Colossians 1:13. It says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Right? Not only did he just take us out, and he didn't just take us out of that roller coaster, but he's also given us and transferred us from into. So that's redemption, right? So releasing and a ransom, that we were redeemed from where we were at and not just staying there, but we were taken. Transfer into his kingdom. Mm-hmm. So next one, adopted. Yeah, I mean, I think over the last like couple of years, we've had a lot of families that were, you know, doing foster care or adoption or And it's been great to see that, and that example that people have been following. So adopted, we were adopted to be God's children. You know, as far as adoption goes in the Roman times, when Paul was talking to the Gentiles, right? For Jewish people, correct me if I'm wrong, there was no adoption. And so if, in the sense of like there, if anything happened to you, you would just, you would get passed on to your brother, like as far as your inheritance. And so in the Roman sense, like it's a little different than what we think of adoption. We think of adoption where if you got one kid or 10 kids, you can still adopt. You would still adopt just to, because you want to, right? Out of the goodness of your whatever, right? And you can adopt a child from zero, just, or not zero, but, you know, after their birth to up to 18, you can adopt them into your family. And it wasn't the same way. You know, where adoption in the Roman times would be not a child, but more likely an adult, right, that would get adopted. I'm going to read some stuff. I got my phone for that. So it says, in ancient Rome, adoption had a powerful meaning, right? If a child was born to a parent, that relationship, you know, wasn't necessarily desired by the parent, you know, they could disown the child, and it didn't have to be permanent. So when the adoption happened, that child or adult was freely chosen by the new family, by the parents. It was desired. It was permanent. And so when they adopted, they couldn't disown who they adopted. Mm-hmm. as part of the rule. And so that child had a new identity, right? Any prior commitments, especially if they were an adult, any prior commitments, responsibilities, debts were all erased. You know, the concept of inheritance was a part of life that it didn't start till after death. It was a part of that life that it would just inherit what the family had. So you guys could see some of those things, that how that relates to us and Jesus, right? How we have been given a new identity. And we, most of you guys, I think, know my youngest son, Reuben. We got to adopt him from India. And I think the coolest part was seeing the birth certificate. He was one when we adopted, by the time we picked him up. And when we got the birth certificate, it was like, I mean, it was as if Jody birthed him. Like, it just said parents had our names and had his new name. And it was pretty neat just to see that. You know, he was an Indian citizen. And as soon as he came here, he was automatically, until they lost our papers. he was a U.S. citizen. Like, I mean, when we left, when we were at the embassy, they're like, here you go. And it was cool because there was, I mean, lines at the U.S. embassy in India is like long, right? I mean, it's like our, what do you call that, fish place in
Belfry.
Yeah, it's like the Belfry. You guys can go into town, come back, the lines just doesn't seem like it's moving. But as far as like for kids, like we just got to bypass all of it. It was the coolest thing to be able to do, but yeah, he got a new identity, and it's like, he didn't do anything. I mean, he was just a baby. He didn't know. He had no idea. But we chose him. And so in that same sense, man, God chose us. He adopted us. He's bringing us into our family just because I believe in Jesus. Like, and I get to be his co-heir, and I get to have everything that he has. Like, that trips me out, you know? Yeah, everything that adopted child, the adopted adult would get was his. Like, he would have everything the family had. So next one, forgiveness. That means to be set free. You know, Mark, I'm going to return to Mark chapter 2. There's going to be a story to read out of there about forgiveness. So this is a little bit long, but yeah, it's a great one. Mark chapter 2. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, several days later, the news spread quickly about that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door while he was preaching God's word to them. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof and above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk?' So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We have never seen anything like this before." So obviously, like, if that man came up, like, there was a hole through the roof, and Jesus happened to be here, and the guy's on a mat, what would you guys think? What was his... what's his need? What's his immediate need?
To be healed.
To be healed. Like, he's paralyzed. Like, that's why he was coming. That's why he was coming to Jesus, was to be healed.
Yeah.
But what does Jesus say? He said, "Your sins are forgiven." Like, that just seems... you see the physical need that couldn't walk, but then Jesus saw his spiritual need. Mm-hmm. Right? Just the contrary, where... I mean, we have our physical needs, but Jesus is much more concerned about where our soul's going to end up.
Yeah. Right?
And so, and just like our greatest need is for our souls to be redeemed. And Jesus has done that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? It's for my sin to be forgiven. So if my sin's forgiven, there's nothing in between me and God. I can have relationship with him. Right? It mm-hmm. says the veil was torn. And I mean, that's such a, we use that phrase, but the gravity and magnitude of that is enormous. Like, for what had to take place in order for that to happen, mm-hmm. right? There was shedding of blood. There was, Jesus had to be sacrificed in order for that to happen. Now we can, with our sins being forgiven, you can talk directly to God, right? Yeah. You can just go to him with whatever you want to. And so that's, you know, those are some of those gifts. Like, we get redemption, adoption, forgiveness of our sins. And then know who gave them. You know, the third thing. You know, God has given these blessings to us. Right? He has graciously and freely given to them. We didn't deserve any of them. But since we're believers, we believe in the complete work of Christ, like, they've been given to us. God has given to us. You know, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, like all these things. You believe in that, just like we talked about earlier, like, all that comes in a package. It's kind of like go to a buffet and you get everything. There's nothing else you got to pay for. It's all there. You know, it's all there. So, like, as soon as we do that, we're in Christ. We are joined with him.
Yeah.
We're united with him. You know, God is the source of all things. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." So Jeff Hale, he was also teaching Ephesians, and you know, I heard him say, it's like, God gave the blessings, God gives the grace, God guarantees it, God does it all. Like, it's all about God, but it's through Jesus that he does that, right? It's through his son. It's all about Jesus. He's the one who did the work. So there it is, right? You know, we know that we have them. You know, we know what they are, and we know who gave them to us. Right? And so there's three times in that first section that we read, it says, "He did this so we would praise and glorify him." And then verse 12, that it would bring praise and glory to God. There's one. So we would praise God for the glorious grace. Right, so there's thing. It says that we would give to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory.
Yeah.
It says that 6:12-14. And that should excite us to thankfulness and to praise. Understanding that we have them, knowing what they are like. I mean, these are just three things that we talked about. But there's other things like chosen, holy and blameless, and the the riches of his grace, the mystery of his will revealed to us, like all these other things that were given, like that should excite us to think of this. And we were doing that earlier during our praise time. And you know, Hebrews 9:13-14, it says, For if the blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, through whom the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And NLT, it says, so we can worship the living God. Mm-hmm. Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Mm-hmm. Right? With all these things that God has given us, all these things that God has done through Jesus, is there any way that we could repay? No. You know, like any way? Like no. There isn't. Right? There isn't a way that we can repay him. But we can serve him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? We can worship him. Right? He's the one that's due worship. It says, who we really are deepest down, our truest identity is in Christ. And we're never going to be our truest self until we are seeking Jesus and trying to be like him and worshiping him. That's where we're going to find our truest identity, in worshiping our Creator, serving our Creator, seeking Jesus, seeking his kingdom. And that's going to bring fulfillment. Right? As I mean, we hear all this and there could be a few reactions to this, right? Like, some of you are like, all right, great. That was encouraging. I'll go home and thanks for the reminder. High five, elbow, whatever. And you can go, right? You can go, like, go home, drive home, being thankful, praise, whatever you do in your car. And then, you know, that's great. You know, that's where you're at. Awesome. Then it's like, hey, man, I'm just not feeling it. Been there, done that. I've been a Christian for a while. Or maybe just in a slump or something, or just trying to hear from the Lord. Maybe you haven't for a while. Anybody been there for it? I have. You know, I think being honest with the Lord is a big deal. You know, a simple prayer, like, search my heart, Lord. Like, why can't I? Why can't I hear from you? Or is there something that I'm doing that isn't right? You know, is there any sin in me that needs to be revealed, that I need to repent of? Why am I feeling this way? Like, that, we can be honest, guys. We can be honest with God, and that's good. Like, he already knows, right?
Yeah.
He already knows.
Yeah.
Just going to relieve a lot of pressure off yourself when you do be honest with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell him where you're at. You know, it says, draw near to him. He will draw near to you. Like, that's a promise. You're not alone in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the other side, it's like, you don't care, or maybe you're just not a believer. Right? And I would say to you, like, you know, God loves you. He created you. You know, he finds value in you. You're valuable. Regardless of what anyone else says, he cares for you. And he's got great things planned for you, for your life, if you choose to trust him, right? If you choose to trust him. And all those things, guys, if you haven't heard that for a while, for you, like, those are all for us, for you.
Yeah.
Like, God does love you. You know, if you don't get anything else, then besides Jesus loves you and be thankful, great. Know those two things. And the blessings that we talked about, I mean, those are available if you choose to trust it. Right? And if you don't know how, just come talk to me, talk to Michael, talk to anybody here, any pastor here. I'd love to help you with that. Right? Sometimes it's like, this is where I'm at. I don't know what to do. You know, we'd love to walk with you through that. We're meant to do this together. And you don't always have to know. You don't always have to pretend to know what to do. So, you know, just be you. You're found in Christ. Don't pretend to be someone else, because that's who we are. Right? We're in Christ. We are joined with him. And be encouraged, you're a child of God. And that you've been given these spiritual blessings, not only to bless others, but also to be able to glorify God. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your body. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Just so blessed to be able to get in your word and just to understand what you have for us, Lord, that we are joined with you, that you've adopted us, Lord. That's I thank you for adopting me into your family and for giving me everything that you've given me, all these blessings and that I didn't deserve. Just pray that you would you just instill that into our hearts, that we would have more of a confidence knowing that we are with you, that we're co-heirs with you, and that we can trust you. Let's pray you go before us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.